music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill. It's my favorite segment every week as I chat with Dr. Deborah Stroman. She's a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player, host of If You Only Knew here on 97.9 The Hill, and of course, a sports businesswoman extraordinaire. She joins us every week to talk about the connection of sports and business with the rest of our lives. Deb, happy Friday. How's it going?
It is going well. I usually try to take a morning walk, but this morning was very, very filled. And so during my lunch break, I took a walk around the neighborhood and melted. So it's good to be back inside with air conditioning.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure it is. I know that it's been a busy week for you. You hosted a panel on Wednesday about affirmative action and how the Supreme Court's ruling could potentially affect college sports. Again, doing exactly what we talk about here on the show, that connection between kind of the rest of the real life and how sports fits into that. I know that people can go check out that panel. We'll link to it on Chapelboro. But how did that panel go and what were some of the most interesting things that you took from the conversation?
Well, it was a great, great panel. I mean, I just have wonderful colleagues in this space. I asked our very own Professor Erica Wilson, who is a distinguished professor in the law school, to review the Reconstruction Amendments, as in, why do we even think that affirmative action is necessary? It was important for her to review the law and how we got to where we are today. I then spoke about the history in terms of 246 years of enslavement, 100 years of legal segregation. So basically 87% of our nation's history, we've been disadvantaged, as in particularly Black people. Dr. Richard Lapchick, who's considered the racial conscious of sport, he is distinguished, semi-retired, I guess you could say, but he is the founder of TIDES, which is the organization which does the data, collects the data on pro sports and college sports in terms of outcomes for women and for people of color. So he was very, very, very powerful in explaining the numbers. Dr. Joseph Cooper, who is a Tar Heel, he's now a professor and administrator at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He shared his thoughts. He's doing research on Black athletes at HBCUs and HWCUs. Dr. Tamika Ferguson, former All-American track and field at the University of Virginia. She's an administrator and faculty member at Virginia Commonwealth University. And she gave us the perspective from student affairs and enrollment, what those numbers look like, what it could possibly move to. And then Dr. Michael McIntosh, who's also a Tar Heel. He is a professor and administrator at Virginia State University, an HBCU in Richmond. And he really, really unpacked what's going on at HBCUs and how we can't always think that the answer to this ruling is just to have more people just enroll at HBCUs, as in the HBCUs have to be equipped. They're already limited in terms of resources. So he pointed out the wonderful things that HBCUs could do, but also gave us caution that that is not the solution.
A lot of critical angles and I'm sure critical perspectives from some very knowing voices. No surprise that you put together some of the industry's best to share comments. And we could talk about that. And you guys already have talked about that for quite a while in that panel. Again, we'll be sure to link to that on chapelboro.com if people want to check it out. For our main topic this week on Stroman on Sports, we're kind of continuing what we discussed last week. We were talking about soccer and we were talking about Chelsea and Wrexham coming to Chapel Hill. Well, now the Women's World Cup is underway in Australia and New Zealand, and today is a very big day in the soccer world, not only because the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time defending World Cup champions, are going to be seeing their first group stage match, but also Lionel Messi is going to be making his debut for Inter Miami just an hour before here in the U.S. So just a huge day when it comes to soccer. Let's start with the Women's National Team, Deb. How excited are you to see them hit the pitch again tonight, and how much pressure do you think that the Americans feel? Because a lot of the marketing around this World Cup here in the U.S. is very much, it's the United States versus the field.
Well, I think they feel pressure. I don't believe most Americans would be upset if they lost, certainly not in the early rounds. And the tournament does go for a month. It's a month-long tournament, primarily in Australia and New Zealand. But I think internally, you know, with the run that they're on. Everybody has them, you know, just like the Tar Heels in basketball, you circle it on the schedule. So if you have the opportunity during the early rounds to play against the United States, this could make or break your program in the sense that it will put the branding out there that you upset the United States. But I think the team is at a point where it's transitioning from the aging stars like Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe to the younger ones, such as Trinity Rodman and Sophia Smith. So with that being said, let our young guns go out there. We don't have to see long, long minutes from our stars. Certainly if they're needed, yes, but it's a good time to let our young players make a difference out there and give them longer minutes. But I think the pressure is definitely on the women's team internally, but not from the fan base. They've done so much for our sport, for our sporting culture.
Absolutely. And kind of along those lines, we know that soccer has just continued to build up. And in terms of popularity, and the Men's World Cup is coming to the U.S. in 2026. Have to imagine that will add to it as well. You know, obviously, major fans are going to be keyed into this. Some casual fans will be keyed into it as it happens in Australia and New Zealand. But what do you think the impact could be here in the U.S. again of this women's national team, especially if they can make another run and maybe win three World Cup titles in a row?
Well, there's no doubt that they've already done a lot. I'm not sure if people knew this unless you watched the show, but the United States women's national soccer team received the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage during the ESPY Awards. And it was being recognized for their long, longstanding work for pay equity. They finally won, and ESPN still considered the leader in sports news. They recognize it. And I think it now sets a new standard for pay expectations for female athletes. We've got tennis, we've got soccer now. You know, WNBA continues to forge ahead, you know, making demands and seeing what owners can and cannot do. But I think that is big. They are a brand in the United States. You see young people wearing their jerseys. I think ESPN realized with what women's soccer had done and certainly what men's soccer is doing all across the world, it still is the most popular sport in the world, that they opened up their programming now. So on Saturday mornings in particular, when I turn on ESPN, there are so many games that I could watch of men playing soccer all across the world. It's almost like there's no excuse for you not to check it out, learn more about the game, or even start following your favorite teams. But I think ESPN has taken the lead. And of course, Apple has jumped in now. You know, even though Fox has the deal with MLS to simulcast 34 games this year, Apple has the game with Messi, which I know we'll speak about. So we've got the major broadcasting networks and streaming platforms jumping in on soccer to make sure Americans learn more and get involved.
Yeah, well, let's transition to the talk about Messi, because Apple's kind of acquisition of the MLS rights this year was certainly interesting. And then when they announced too that Messi not only is coming to Inter Miami, but it sounds like a big part of that deal is he will be getting a portion, some sort of percentage of Apple TV's deal with the league itself. That was one of the things that helped kind of lock down and confirm that he would be playing for Inter Miami. It's definitely a big gamble, but one that if you have, I mean, arguably the greatest soccer player ever, certainly one of the greatest soccer players active right now, and Lionel Messi coming to the MLS for, it seems like, several years, kind of in the twilight of his career, but still while he is good, it should pay major dividends. It doesn't feel quite as much as a gamble because he has come. And I mean, Deb, you know, even though the U.S. is, again, still kind of getting on the train in some ways, this could be gigantic, not just for the league, but then also how people consume the sport.
I certainly agree. And I think it's a easy win. Considering my budget, not easy for me, but for Apple to have paid only $250 million a year to broadcast every game, I think it was a big, big win. And when we think about, for those who followed Messi since he's been in the United States, his little shopping spree with his family at Publix grocery store, they said that Publix has already earned something like $6 million in terms of free publicity, quote unquote, just by having him in the store. And so when you think about that, it was a great investment. He might be towards the end of his career. Hopefully he won't get injured. But I know I've already been looking at tickets for the Charlotte game, maybe Atlanta. I want to see Messi in person. So I think it was a big win, and it's going to help, you know, people who are close to the athletic world, but, you know, more into football and basketball, that they'll, you know, expand the horizon and take a look at this great game of soccer or football.
Do you think that this could be, you know, it is similar to the moves that we've seen of David Beckham, Ibrahimovic, some other aging European stars coming over to the MLS, but Messi is the biggest get that they've ever had by far. Hence, you know, again, why the league might be sharing portions of its profits with him specifically. Do you think that this is the type of move that could help the league truly vault up and maybe shake that reputation of, oh, you know, you get maybe a couple of young stars, but lower tier players, certainly when it comes to world class, and you only ever land a world class player when they're on the edge of retirement? Do you think that this could be big enough to help, again, bring in enough revenue to where these teams can then go out and try and get more better players as time goes on?
Absolutely. Now, he's 36 years old, but he was named FIFA's best men's player last year. And of course, we all know that he led Argentina to the World Cup title. But he is a brand. People love watching him play. He's just so magical. And I think one of the challenges for our version of soccer, our football, is that we don't have enough top players playing in our league to help everybody go up to the next level. Now, it's a whole nother conversation to talk about what's wrong with American men's soccer, but we see it is improving. But if Messi can come, then who else can come? Who else is willing to come? So I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing, not in a, you know, big rush, but I wouldn't be surprised if we started to see maybe two or three top players consider playing MLS. And once you get a taste of it, United States, that we do have diversity and people who can speak different languages and will welcome you into the community. And hopefully the ugly racism that takes place in soccer stadiums all across the world, hopefully that won't show up here in the United States. But I think it would be a nice thing to have more players overseas come and play. And so we can enjoy their style as well.
That's certainly the goal. And the hopefully long road of Lionel Messi in the MLS does start tonight, as his Inter-Miami team will be playing in the League Cup. That's at 8 p.m. And then just an hour later, the U.S. Women's National Team starting off their 2023 Women's World Cup campaign in Australia and New Zealand, taking on Vietnam at 9 p.m. Looking forward to both of those games and already looking forward to chatting with Dr. Deborah Strowman next week. Deb, thank you as always for the time.
Thank you. Go Heels.